Among the many issues the Me Too movement has shed light upon is the gender gap in the corner office. We wanted to hear what women leaders in Greater Boston have to say about workplace culture and sexual harassment, so we invited three into our studio.
My name is Nicole Sahin. I'm the CEO and founder of Globalization Partners. We help companies expand internationally without setting up branch offices and subsidiaries around the globe.
My name is Donna Latson-Gittens, founder and CEO of More Advertising.
I'm Joanne Cammons, the executive director of AdGene, a nonprofit biotechnology in Cambridge.
The trio sat down with WBUR Bostonomics reporters in Injor and Wameka to look at the problem and possible solutions.
In terms of sexual harassment in the workplace, is that something that any of you have ever dealt with?
This is Nicole Sahin. One way that I think women are limited in terms of upward mobility in the workforce, it's not always harassment. It's actually lack of opportunity. So, for example, I had a boss who, you know, it would be really awkward for him to invite me out for dinner because he was 10 or 15 years my senior, and he was a married man. So he couldn't invite me out to dinner after work or to go grab a drink after work because that would be socially awkward, and rightfully so. And yet, nevertheless, if I had a male colleague, they had all those opportunities to bond after work and have those small conversations that are so important to developing oneself professionally.
This is Donna. My experience is a little bit different. It would be that I would be the only Black person in the room. And you're saying, well, where is everybody else? I know I'm not the only one. That's always an issue that, you know, they think they can only find one person of color who has the experience who can speak to a particular issue.
This is Joanne. I mean, I think what you brought up is even more why we need more diversity in leadership, because we need to be comfortable to have mentors and senior people who can take us out for dinner and who are seeing us as a person, not as a person of color.
So I'm sure you've all been following all of the high-profile cases of sexual harassment in what seems like almost every institution. What do you make of all of these cases? Does it surprise you at all?
The feedback from men in my life was that they were all so surprised to know that so many women had dealt with assault and that they didn't realize that the daily life of a woman is always about protecting herself. And yet now that I'm seeing more and more people, men's careers being ruined, I'm almost thinking it's gone a little bit too far that, you know, in the court of public opinion, it's like there's no jury, there's no judge, there's no evidence. It's just accusations.
So I understand what you're saying and I hear, but I actually look at the people that are being taken down right now. And yeah, most of them should be taken down.
Yeah. Do you disagree, Nicole?
I'm not sure if I agree or disagree. I just think it's a lot to happen very quickly, and that it's one thing for people to be warned and feel like there's something to be cautious about, because that helps change behavior. And I think with the Me Too movement, that's exactly what we wanted. We wanted to have the conversation and we wanted to have the dialogue. But to the extent that people feel like they can't have the conversation because they could say anything wrong and that anybody might be offended, or that they might actually have a legal issue if they say the wrong thing, that's where the backlash is.
Nicole, I agree with you. This is an uncomfortable time, and it's unfortunate. You know, I hate to espouse what's happening on the Twitter sphere, but women are saying men are afraid. Well, get used to it. We've been afraid for how many years?
And Black women have been afraid for a very long time.
You know, where you can't walk down the street, where you can't, you know. We're sorry that men are afraid. That's not the outcome that we desire. What we desire is better working relationships for everyone. And maybe we don't go out for drinks, but maybe we can sit in our office with a glass window and sit together and have a good coaching session.
I think that's a perfect solution.
You know, and have things be public and transparent, but everyone treated fairly, and the men and the women get that, and so that networking and coaching isn't happening over golf or at the strip club.
I just want to be the advocate for the low-income worker, you know, the hotel workers, the women who are secretaries, women who don't have the power. I want to speak for them because they don't have the resources that a lot of the actresses and, beauty queens and all the rest of them who've been able to at least stand up and they have a voice and they've got the platform. Mm-hmm. But what happens, and how do we change their life? How do we support them, which is what the original Me Too movement was about, domestic assault on women who can't don't have the resources to speak up.
Do you think that's getting lost in this conversation?
Yeah, I do. It's helping women at a certain level, but it's still there for the woman who doesn't have the kind of reach and the advocacy on their side.
Many people have said this is an example of why we need more women in leadership. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as women at the top of your companies, do you think that that's a solution?
I think that's an important solution. Mm-hmm. I think, but it can't just be women leaders that are espousing these, the correct way. It has to be men as well.
So one thing that we do at Globalization Partners is we basically force men to take family leave. We don't call it maternity leave. Yep. If the assumption is that men don't take paternity leave, they're always going to be there. First, you don't enable the organization to grow around those inevitable leaves of absences, and you grow to rely on people of one gender more than another. And second, you're building an implicit gender bias right into your own organization, even if what you intended to do was give a generous maternity leave to women only.
So I want to hear your thoughts in terms of the path forward. What do you think can be done about sexual harassment in the workplace?
Making sure that women know that they're supported, and, you know, it doesn't have to be anything formal. It's going to someone who will listen to you, will hear you. But it's also that bigger issue of the environment. Establishing an environment where people work and interact and making sure they feel comfortable.
I think for the harassment, we need to have an anonymous reporting system. Mm-hmm. So HR traditionally in larger companies is not really working for the people. They're working for the administration and that's not a safe place for people to report. So I think probably there needs to be some sort of outside organization that can receive reports, collate them, and then when they reach a level, if it's not just one person, but it's credible, multiple people, raising it to the supervisors and saying, this person has a problem in your company. You need to address it.
Do you think companies would really do it, though? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's another added
cost. I think they need to be required. Absolutely.
I love the idea of it being anonymous. And then it's more credible. You at least know you have a problem. It's not a personality conflict. It's like, that's right. This is something that really needs to be addressed.
Well, Joanne Kamens, Cole Sahin, and Donna Latson-Gittins, thank you guys so much. This has been a great conversation.
Thank you
so much. Thanks for having me.